Today's sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ketubos Daf Nun Tes. We begin about 18 lines down from the top with the words Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel tells us Halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan Asandler. The Halacha is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Asandler, the Mishnah, who said that if a person tries to be Makdish his wife's Mosar earnings, he's not able to do so. We had another opinion in the Mishnah which said, in the name of Rabbi Meir, that a person could make those Mosar earnings Hektish. But Rabbi Yochanan Sandler said no, and Shmuel possibly Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Now, there are more questions. Really? Well, me or Mar Shmuel Hachi? Does Shmuel really hold that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says you're not allowed to go and be Makdish the Moser earnings of the wife? Is that really true? This seems to be based upon the idea that a person cannot be Makdish a Dover Shalom Baliolam. So Shmuel seems to be saying that you can't be Makdish a Dover Shalom Baliolam, like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler said. But that's not true, according to the Mishnah in Nedarim, where Shmuel seems to paskin otherwise. Let's not. We've learned that the Mishnah in Nedarim, Konam. Konam is a lashon of saying korban, meaning something is also to me. Konam, Shani Osa Leficha. As Rashi brings down in Dibur HaMascho, Konam. Ma sha'ani oseh ye konem leficha. It should be like a carbon to your mouth. Ye olecha kehekdesh milhenuslo. And you shouldn't be allowed to get any hanoah from anything that I make. So therefore, the Mishnah says that the woman says to her husband that anything that I shall make should be also to you. Konem sha'ani oseh leficha. So ain tzarech lohafer. The Tanakhama says there is no reason for the husband to go and be made for this neder because it can't take effect because he's entitled to that. And therefore, the husband doesn't have to go and be made for such a neder. The wife has no right to go make such a neder. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva omer yofer. The husband should go and be made for this neder because you know what's going to happen. Shematadif olav yoser min aroylo, because maybe she's going to make more than he would be entitled to. She's going to make in excess of what he would be entitled to. And therefore, that excess belongs to her. And in this situation, he should be made for that neder because it could impact him. Tosa says, how does it impact him? So the answer is because he can't be mitzamtzim so much. He can't be so medactic to say, well, this I can get hanoah from, this I can't get hanoah from. So therefore, it is considered a dover shebeino lebeino, and he's allowed to be made for it. In any event, we're dealing over here, as Tosus points out, Rabbi Kiva Omer Yofer, the Kesovar, the Hadofa, Sha'ayi, the Hadchak, Hevi Leisha, that any of the excess that comes because of her extra efforts, her Dechak, her extra work, does belong to her, even though he's entitled to the Moser. So in this situation, Rabbi Kiva says the husband should be made for it, even though it's a Dover Shalom Baliola. And Yochanan Nuri Amar Yofer, he agrees that you should be made for it, but for a different reason. He says, Shemo Yigar Shana, maybe the husband's going to end up divorcing her, and then it will belong to her, and it will become hektish. And then, if he wishes to go take her back, if he's a Yisrael, he's allowed to be Maksa Grusha, so as long as she hasn't got married to somebody else. But since all of her handiwork will be ushered to him, because the neder now would take effect after he divorces her, so it would be impossible for him to go and live with her, because it'd be just about essentially impossible for somebody not to be getting hanah from something that his wife did for him. So therefore, Yochanan Nuri says, better be made for the neder now, in case you divorce her and you then want to take her back, when that's permissible, so then it will be able to be done. Otherwise, she'll be awesome to you forever. And these three opinions, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Kiva, and Yochanan Nuri, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel comes along and says over there, Halacha kirb Yochanan Nuri. We pass like Yochanan Nuri. Now, this is certainly a Dover Shalom Baliolam. So you see from this Mishnah in Nedarim that he passes like a Dover Shalom Baliolam, that you can have it take effect. And our situation here, we said, he paskins that you can't have it take effect. That's why he passes like Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. In our Mishnah, it says that it's a Dover Shalom Baliolam, and you can't have it take effect. That's why it's chulin. So the Gemara says, it seems to be a steer over here. So the Gemara says, Ki amar Shmuel halachi Yochanan Menuri lahadofa. When Shmuel said in the Mishnah in the Nedarim that the halach is like a Yochanan Menuri, he's only referring to when it is talking about hadofa, when there's an excess amount over here. Which, incidentally, is what Rabbi Akiva said. And the Gemara questions, so then why didn't he just say so? He could have said one of three possibilities. He could have said, but not for the reason that Yochanan Nuri said, but because he should have said, that would be one thing he could have said. Or number two, he could have just said, Inami en halacha k'tanakama. We don't postulate the Tanakama, who said, Eino tzarech lohafer. We paskin that you do have to be made for the neder. Or just stay straight out. Inami halacha Rabbi Akiva. Should have said halacha Rabbi Akiva. Shemotadif alav yosim en aroylo. So, again, very difficult to understand this teretz. And therefore, the Gemara says, El Omer Yosef, the real answer is as follows. Konomos kamris? Shiny Konomos. You're trying to tell me the din over here by Konomos? The din that we have at the Gemara in the Darim is dealing with konamos, with something that you're able to aser based upon your saying so, that it should become aser. Konamos are different. Shiny konamos. They're different than other forms of hekdish. Why? Mitoch she'odom oser peros chavero alav. Since a person is allowed to go and say that your peros are aser to me. Now, I have no rishus in your peros. I can't do anything with your peros for you. But I can say that your peros are aser to me. And since I can say that your peros are aser to me, so too, Adam Makdish Dovish Lo Boli Olam. So too, just like there's an unusual situation by Konim, that you can be Konim Paris that don't belong to you, so too you can be Konim, you can be Makdish Dovish Lo Boli Olam. Konim basically allows you to do a lot of unusual things. It can be effective for ossering your friend's fruits on you, or it can even work for a Dovish Lo Boli Olam. Or it says, really? Just because these things are by Konim, it means anything by Konim goes? Only Abai says that's not really comparable. These two cases aren't comparable. Bishlama Adam Ose Peros Chavero Lov. Why does Konim work with my friend's fruit? I can say that my friend's fruits are also to me like a carbon. Because Shekain Adam Ose Peros of Al Chavero. Because if I wanted to, I could make my fruits also to him. I can say my fruits are Konim to you. So I can say your fruits are Konim to me. So just because I can do that, does it mean, yes, or Dovish Lobo Leolma Chavero? Does that mean that I can ask for something that hasn't yet come into the world? Who says the two are comparable? Shekain, similarly, I'll show you, Eina Demosa Peros Chavero Al Chavero, I can't make your fruits also on somebody else. I can only make them also on me. So I can't make your fruits on somebody else, so therefore, why should I be able to make a Dovish Lobo Leolma also as well? So what says you're 100% right. And therefore, Rav Yossi's Teretz is no good. Elam Rav Huna Bredi Rishua, this is the Teretz. Rav Huna Bredi Rishua says, Biomeris Yikotshu Yodai Liyoseyem. You know what Rav Yochanan Nuri said over here? He said that the woman is saying that the husband is also on her earnings because she's basically saying, my hands, which are a Dover Shebol Liolam, are also to him. The Adayim Isnu Ba'olam, and those hands are in the world. And therefore, when the woman says that it's a co-name, that my hands should be also to you, she's not talking about her handiwork. She's not talking about what her hands will produce. She's saying her hands. And the hands can be asered because they're Dover Shebali Olam. More questions this as well. The Kik Amra Hochi Mi Mekachin. And if she says this about her hands, so does that work? Is she allowed to go and aser her hands to him? After all, O Mishavdalei, her hands essentially belong to her husband. Once they have the marriage, so he has to support her, and he's entitled to her Maisi Adayim. So therefore, she cannot serve her hands to him, so that wouldn't work even though it is a Dover Shebali Olam. So Gemara says, you're right, but we're talking here, the Amr L'chi Megarsha. We're talking about that she's saying that my hands should be ushered to you after we get divorced. When you divorce me, so then my hands are ushered to you. That she's allowed to do. That's a Dover Shebali Olam. Gemara questions this and says, really? Umi Komidi. If she wished to, she couldn't make them usher right now, so she can make them usher at a future point in time. Right now, if she wishes to make her handiwork usher to him by saying that my hands are usher to you, she can't do that. So how can she do that at a future point in time? L'chi migarsha. So he says, no, that we already have an answer for. Amar Rabbi Loi, alam alo. Why not? Because, let's say, for example, if a man were to say to his friend, this field, which I own right now, which I'm going to sell to you, what I'm saying, I'm going to sell it to you when I buy it back. If I buy it back from you, mimcha, from you, tikadosh, it will be sanctified. It will be kadosh. In other words, I'm right now the owner. I have the ability to be makdish right now. And I'm saying, when I sell it to you, and I then buy it back from you, I'm making it kodesh then, so therefore it's a davar shebali olam. It's there right now. I have the power right now to do this, and that's why it works. So Gemara says again, maskal Rav Yirmiya, this doesn't work. Rav Yirmiya asks, that's not comparable. Me dummy, hasam biyada lakish. In this case that we just brought down, he owns the field right now. If he wishes to, he could be makdish it right now. But hacha, in the case where the woman is married and she says koneim, right now she can't be. Hacha em biyado ligari shesatzma. Right now she's a married woman and she doesn't have the power to go and divorce herself. Only her husband can divorce her. And therefore, she doesn't own her handiwork at that moment in time. She doesn't own her hands at that moment in time, so to say. So therefore, if you want to make the comparison, halodamia, if you make the comparison, it's only comparable to the following case. Eloliomer lechaveru. It would be as if a person said to his friend, not this field that I own right now, but this field that I sold to you already. When I buy it back from you, from you, it will be hektish then. In that situation, the lo kotcha, it shouldn't become hektish because right now he doesn't own it, and therefore he's not able to do so. Again, this teretz isn't a good teretz. Maskel Rapapa, Rapapa says, me dummy. Again, the cases are incomparable. Hasam, in this case, gufa uperos biyada lilokeach. In this situation, this field right now belongs to the man that it was sold to, and the produce, the peros of it, belong to that man as well. So in that situation, hasam, gufa, the field itself, uperos, and anything that's grown in that field, biyada lilokeach, they belong to the guy that purchased it. But here, in our case with the woman, her earnings are hers right now. At least her hands are, and it's only what she's making right now that goes to her husband. So the hands are hers, that's the guf, and granted the payros, her handiwork, that goes to her husband. So it's not comparable. If you wanted to say it's comparable, halodamia, the comparable case would be, if a person would say to his friend, and we turn to Nun Tesimibes, this field which I'm giving to you as a mashkon, in other words, it's leaned on this field, that this field is the collateral for a loan that I have. And if I don't pay you back the loan by, let's say, next year, so then you're entitled to collect the loan from this field. So this is a mashkon. So it's comparable to the case where I still own the field. When I go and redeem it from you, in other words, when I pay back the loan and it's no longer collateral from you, it should be hekdish then. Oh, in that situation, the kotcha. So that's the analogous case over here to the woman, and there's no stira. Again, the Gemara says, no, it's still no good. Maskel Rishish Rei Ravidi. Rishish Rei Ravidi says, that's still not comparable. Mi dami. How can you compare these two cases? Hasam biyado livdosa. There in the field where he made it as a mashkon, at any point in time he pays back the loan, he gets his field back. The mashkon comes back to him. But in the case with the woman who's married, hacha, ein biyado ligari shatzma, she has no ability to go and divorce herself and get back her maisi adayim. They belong to her husband. So again, the two cases are incomparable. If you wanted to make them comparable, you'd have to say the following. Holodamia, if you wanted to make them comparable, you would have to be for the following case. Elo, the omel chaver, if a man would say to his friend, this field which I'm giving you as collateral is yours for 10 years. I can't buy it back, even if I pay back the loan, for 10 years. That's analogous to the case. So in that situation, when he says, I will buy it back from you when I do redeem it, 10 years from now, it will become Hekdesh then, the kotcha. That's Kodesh. That's the analogous case to the woman saying that my hands are being makdish to you, the handiwork of my hands goes to you, but I still own my hands. And when you divorce me, at that point, my hands come back to me. And therefore, it's analogous to this case where the mashkon will come back to him in 10 years. Both of them, the hekdish works. Again, the Gemara objects this and says they're not comparable. Maskel Ravashi. Here Ravashi says they're not comparable. Me dummy. How can you tell me these cases are comparable? There, in the case where the man says, after 10 years, the mashkel comes back to me, hosomli, eser shonim, miha biyado liftosa. He reserved the right to redeem it after 10 years. You're right, he can't redeem it during the first 10 years. But once 10 years come around, if he wants to, he pays back the loan. He gets his field back. Hocha, but by the case of the woman, she has no power to go and be megarish yourself. And beyond the legarish at smaliolam, only her husband can divorce her. She doesn't have the power to go even after 10 years and get her handiwork back, so to say, to get her hands back. So therefore, none of these cases are comparable. So Gemara finally concludes and says, you know what? You're right. Elom Ravashi, the only way we can resolve this is from what Ravashi said. The konomos ka'amis, you're telling me that this is a case of konomos? Konomos are different. Shiny konomos. Why konomos different? Because there's a special din by konomos. They have intrinsic kedusha in the item itself. And we learned this previously in the Masechta Uchid Rava, like Rava taught us. And Rava taught us that for the following three things, Hekdesh Chometz V'Shichror Mafkiin Midei Shibud. There they have the right to overcome the Shibud that already was present. Now what is this? So Hekdesh, so Rashi reminds us, Dira Basel Hekdesh, keep going. For example, Sheshibeid Sharo Lebalchov. A man set aside his ox to be like collateral for an IOU. He owes his friend Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. And he says, if I don't pay you back, my ox is the collateral you'll collect from my ox, which is worth $1,000. And then what does he do? What does Reuven do? The Chaz of Ignisho. He goes and is makdish this ox. And Mafkia Shibud Hamalve. It goes and removes this Shibud from Shimon who had lent him the money. And Shimon can only collect his $1,000 from another property, but not from this ox. And this is allowed, because this ox is able to be brought as a carbon. The ain't no gozel. It's not stolen. The lohavi konile ella leguvayana bi alma, because he only had the right to go and take this ox to go and pay back the loan. But if the original owner Reuven went and was makdish it, so then if he made it into kedushas aguv, it is perfectly kadosh, and it, so to say, abrogates the prior lien that was on it by Shimon. So by kekdish, it is able to overcome the prior lien. Likewise, chametz. What's the case of chametz? In the next Rashi, Dibur Masul Chametz, he writes, if a person made also chemso apotiki, if a person made his chametz into an apotiki, we said that's in the mnemonic for po, tehe, koi. From here, you will collect. So Yovik Chavim. So Yovik Chavim lent him $1,000, and he says, my chametz will be the collateral. And now, the Yeh Pesach. And now Pesach comes. So that chametz is now batel. It is no longer his, and it no longer has any value. So Isser Chametz Mafkiel Mishibur Ovi Kachavim. So the Ovi Kachavim can't collect from that anymore because it's worthless. It now is Chametz Shavalas HaPesach. It becomes Batel. The Nesar B'Hanah. And it's also in Hanah. Like we learned in the Gemara and Pesachim. What not? Ovi Kachavim Mishihuvah Yisrael Al Chemtzo. If an Ovi Kachavim lent a Jew money and the Chametz that he has would be the collateral. So Acha Pesach Mutu B'Hanah. In that situation, we said it's muta banah because kisherihinu eslo shemasar biyodo mashka, because he gave it over into the possession of the Ovi Kochavim. In that situation, but only in that situation, does the chametz work as a collateral. But if it stays in the possession of the yid, so then it becomes also banah. So here's another example of chametz being mafkia over here from the shibud. And the final one is v'shichra. This is a case, Rashi says, of an eved. Look at the next Dibur Maskil Rashi. Also, Avdo Apotiki. He made his eved into the Apote coin. From here you will collect. So, again, Reuven borrowed $1,000 to Shimon, and he said, my eved will be an Apotiki. And Shimon expects to get that eved. But meanwhile, what does Reuven do? Vishichro. Halove. Mishuchra. And Reuven freed him, and he's freed. Shimon will have to collect the money from someplace else, but he can't collect it from this collateral, this eved. So in all of these three things, Rava said, Hekdesh Chomitz Shechor, Mafkiin Midei Shibud. They can go and uproot the Shibud. And in this way, there is no stira between the two statements that Shmuel said, that Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Whereas, just one last question. It says, V'nikdeshu mehashta. So then, why in this situation, if the co-name works over here, when the woman says that my hands are going to be also to my husband, so it doesn't work right now, but it works at a later point in time, so then why doesn't it work right now? If you're saying that this co-name uproots, so to say, the husband's rights, so then why doesn't it root it right now? Why does it only work after Shinis Karsha? Shmuel says, because the rabbis made a special din over here. Almua, they gave special strength to Rabbanon, the Shibude de Baal. They gave an extra special strength to the husband's lien over here on her hands, the husband's rights, the Shibud that he has to her hands, that it shouldn't work. It should have technically worked, based upon what we just said. But the rabbis came along and made an additional gzera and said that it won't work in this situation. As Rashi says, Ba'oda Tachtov, while she is still subservient to him as his wife, the Shavua Rabbanon Kilokeach Gomur, Lochamalva. They turned the husband, so to say, into a lokeach, a purchaser. And in regards to a purchaser, he doesn't have the right to go and take it back from the purchaser. As opposed to the malva, where it's a collateral, he does have the right to go and take it back. And therefore, that's the ultimate answer over here to this seeming stira between Shmuel's statements that he passes like Rav Yochai ben Nuri. Okay, again, that was a pretty tough Gemara, but let's go weiter. Gemara says in the next Mishnah, Ve'elu melachos she'isho selabala, the following are actions or activities that a woman has to do for her husband. We're going to list seven things over here, and these are things that a woman normally is expected to do as part of the marriage for her husband. Tochenes, she has to go grind the flour. The Gemara will explain what we're talking about, because normally this is heavy-duty work and it's not done by a woman. So the Gemara will explain what this tochenes, what this grinding is. V'ofe, she has to bake bread and cakes for him. U'mechabesa, she has to clean the house. U'mevashela, she has to cook for him. U'minikas b'no, she has to go nurse his child. Matzas lomita, she goes and spreads out the bedding. V'ose batzemer, and she does some work with wool. She goes and does some weaving. So these seven things are obligations that come along with the woman to her husband when the husband marries her. The husband has obligations to his wife. The ksuba lists those obligations. He has to support her. He has to provide her housing and shelter and clothing and food, etc., etc., etc. So there are obligations that the husband has, and these are the obligations that the wife has to her husband. But these are obligations that can be abrogated if she has the means to take care of them in another way, as the Mishnah now says. If she comes in with a maidservant, so then the maidservant will do some of these tasks, and the woman is freed from doing them. Lo tochenes, she doesn't have to go grind. Lo ofer, she doesn't have to bake for him. Lo mechabesa, she doesn't have to go clean for him. She can let the maidservant do that, and she can sit back. She doesn't have to do those. If she brings in two maidservants, shtayim, so then, not only does she not have to do the tochenes, the ofe, the machaveses, but then she doesn't even have to do the maveshelis. She doesn't have to cook. Veina manikas b'na. She can use one of these maidservants as a wet nurse, and she doesn't have to go and nurse her own baby. If she brings in three servants, shalos, so then, in addition to doesn't have to do the tochein, the ofe, the machabeses, and she doesn't have to cook for him, and doesn't have to nurse his child, she likewise doesn't even have to spread out the bedding. And she doesn't have to do any work. She can sit back and not do these full activities that she would normally expect to do. No, she'll do some other minor things, but she doesn't have to do these seven activities. If she brings in four maidservants, then she doesn't have to do anything. Then arba, she has four maidservants coming in, Yosheves Bikatadra, she can go sit pretty on a katadra. Rashi says, is she doesn't have to go and do any work for him. Lo titrach bishvilo, lech bishlichus lo bilo chayfetz mibayis lalia. She doesn't have to go and bring stuff in from the roof to the house, from the ceiling, from the attic, downstairs to the house. She can just sit there on her katidra. A katidra is some sort of a chair. She sits on the couch and does absolutely nothing. If she brings in four servants, the Tanakhama holds she's parted from doing anything for her husband in that situation. Rabbi Elazar strongly disagrees. Rabbi Elazar Omer, afilu hechnisa lo mea shvachos. Even if she brings in 100 maidservants, in other words, there really is no work that she would have to do. Nevertheless, the husband can force her to do some basic work, kofel, lasso, spetsemer. He can force her to do some working, weaving with the wool so that she shouldn't go and do nothing. Why? Because if she does nothing, it's going to lead to no good. Shabbat tola mevia lidei zima. If she has absolutely nothing to do, she will find Nebuch something to do that would be immoral. She'll do something that's inappropriate for a woman to do with other men. And therefore, it's good that she do something. So even if she brings in 100 servants, Rabbi Eliezer says, we still give her something to do to occupy herself to prevent her from chas v'shalom doing something lewd, something inappropriate, something that is immodest. And Rabbi Shimon Galil says similarly, Rabbi Shimon Galil Omer, even if the husband says, I ask you to do work, I want you to be my wife and do no work though. So nevertheless, in that situation, he's not allowed to live with her. Yotzi v'tink su, even though he doesn't want her to do any work, but it would be terrible if she doesn't do any work at all. And if he asks her for doing work, he has to give her a ksuba. He has to divorce her and give her a ksuba, because if she doesn't allow her to do any work, habatola, shabatola, mevia lidei shiamum, that doing nothing is going to make her crazy. As Rashi says, shiamum is shigon. She's going to go crazy. She's going to end up doing all sorts of terrible things or just go crazy, because if she has nothing to do, so she will end up either going crazy or doing immoral and inappropriate things. So therefore, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel say that even if technically she wouldn't have to do any work, either because she brings in enough servants or her husband says, I ask you to do any work, that's not a good situation and we have to do something about it. Now the Gemara says, you started off telling me that she has these seven tasks that she's obligated to do for her husband. One of them was tochenes. The Gemara says, tochenes soka daitach. Do you really think that she has to go sit with a heavy millstone and go and grind? That's a very difficult thing to do. And Rashi points out, this is normally done by the water power, the hydro forces that go and cause the mill to turn. So as Rashi says, that hamayim megalgal in ha'ofen v'tochen, the waters are turning this spinning wheel that causes the rock to grind the flour. And therefore, that's how it's done. It's not done by a woman actually grinding it. So what are you talking about that she has to be tochenes? So your word says you're 100% right. Ela ema, when we said over here in the Mishnah, tochenes, it didn't mean that she actually grinds it. It means matchenes. In other words, she makes sure that the grinding gets done. As Rashi says, Dibur Mas Matchenes, Mechina Tzor Chetchina. She goes and prepares the grains to be ground in this millstone. No snuso biapir chasis. She goes and puts it into the place where it gets ground up. And then she collects the flour that's made afterwards. So it doesn't mean she actually does the grinding, but she does the preparatory steps and takes out the flour afterwards. Alternatively, Baisema, she does grinding, but it's with a handmill. Berechaya de yada, she does it over here with a very small handmill. That is something that they do in the house. A little handmill that she has to grind a little bit that she needs for whatever it is that she's baking or cooking. So that is something that she's expected to be doing if she has no maidservants. Okay. Gemara continues and says, our Mishnah masnisin de lo Rabbi Chiya. Our Mishnah isn't in accord with Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya is very famous for saying the following. The Tani Rabbi Chiya learned in the following brisa. And it will see it's very appropriate that Rabbi Chiya is the one that says this. Ein isha ela liyofi. Rabbi Chiya says that the basic purpose of a wife is for her beauty. In other words, she's there to prevent the husband from doing sins. And we have Gemara's elsewhere that says it's very important that Rabbi Chiya says this. Rabbi Chiya did not have a very good shalom bias, let's say, with his wife. His nephew, Rav, had a similar problem. Isha then had a wife that was, let's call it contrary, that they would not give them what they asked for. So, for example, if they asked to have pea soup for supper, they got vegetable soup. If they asked for vegetable soup, they got pea soup. So the wife always did the exact opposite of what the husband asked. So in any event, Reb Chiya nevertheless would go and always buy special things for his wife. And the people question him, says, listen, your wife's a shrew. Your wife doesn't treat you nicely. And he says, even if she doesn't, she prevents me from sinning, she prevents me from looking at other women, she prevents me from having my Yetzirah, Rachmana Leslan, overcome me, and therefore he says that that's why we have to thank our wives. And that's in accord with what Ruchia says over here. Ein isha l'yofi, the main purpose of having a wife is to keep the man out of trouble. And ein isha l'banim, or, alternatively, the wife's purpose is to help procreate, to have children in the house. So therefore, that's good enough. Even if the wife doesn't do any of these other activities, as long as the wife is successful in preventing the husband from sinning and in helping him to have children, so then that's the purpose of a woman. And furthermore, V'tani Ruchia, Ruchia said in another brisa, Ein isha ela tachshita isha. The major thing that we have to do with our wives is to make sure that they have all of the tachshitim that they need in order to make them beautiful in our eyes, and therefore they'll prevent us from sinning. So that's the purpose of the woman. Furthermore, V'tani Ruchia in another brisa, Harotza she'adin es ishto, if a person wants to go and make his wife shine, he wants her, as Rashi says, as ziva, he wants her a countenance to be one of a shining countenance. So Yabishen or Klei Pishta, let her go and put on all sorts of very fancy and fine linen garments, and this way she'll shine. And Arosa Shiabin is Bito, if he wants his daughter to shine, so what should he do when she's growing up? Yachileno Efrochim, he should feed her chickens, young chickens, Yashkenacholov, and give her lots of milk to drink, Somuch Lepirka, around the time when she reaches what's called menarche, when she reaches the point of time when she's going to become a young lady, when she reaches the point of time of menstruation. So therefore, this is the way to go and make sure that his daughter will be beautiful. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Umeiniko has been on, one of the other obligations that the woman has to her husband is to go and nurse any children that they have. So Gemara says, Lema masnis and lo kebe shammai. Our Mishnah isn't in accord with Beishamai's opinion. Why? Because Beishamai says elsewhere, the time we learn the Brisa, Nadra shalo lohanik es binah. If a woman says, I absolutely refuse, I'm making an edit that I'm not going to go nurse any children that I have from you, so Beishamai omrim, shomet is dad mi pip. So she has to stop immediately. She made an edit that she wouldn't nurse the child. So you sort of say, you remove the dad, you remove the breast from the mouth of the baby because she made that nether, and she's not allowed to go and nurse the child. Basil disagrees. Basil omrim kofa uminikoso. You're forced to go and actually nurse the child because this is an obligation. As we learned in our Mishnah, the woman is obligated to, and she can't go and stop herself from doing something which she has a prior shibud on to her husband. So therefore, she has this prior shibud to go nurse any children that they have. So therefore, Basil is in accord with our Mishnah that even though she says, I'm not going to do this, we can force her to do this because it's a prior shibud. Whereas Beishamai says, no, she's allowed to. So obviously Beishamai is not the author of our Mishnah. What about Nizgarsha? Once the woman's divorced, so no longer is there a shibud over here, so ain't no kofa. Then the husband cannot go force her to go and nurse his child. However, Bimaya Makira, if the child will only recognize the mother, in other words, he won't nurse from somebody else, he won't nurse from anybody else. There's no formula in those days. Sometimes nowadays there's no formula either. So there's no formula to feed this child, so the child needs to nurse from the mother, but the mother is divorced and she has no shibud that she has to go nurse the child. So then the husband or the ex-husband, no sin lo schara, has to pay her the kofa mini kaso. So the basin will say, yes, we force you to go nurse this child, but you are entitled to payment for it because you no longer are mishubud to do this. And the reason why the basin will force her is because we have sakana. Again, they didn't have formula, and this child is makira. He recognizes his mother. He's not going to go and take to the nursing from somebody else. So therefore, this child would die if he wasn't nursed by the mother. So therefore, basin can force the mother to nurse the child, albeit the basin can go and force the husband to pay for this, the ex-husband to pay for this. So therefore, it looks like Beis Shammai is not the author of our Mishnah. Where it says, no, afilu tema Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai could be the author of our Mishnah. How come in our Mishnah it says that the woman is obligated to nurse the child, but Beishamai holds that she's not obligated? How do you reconcile that? Because Hachem Layaskina, because in the Brisa, what Beishamai said, you don't have to, Kigon Shinadra Hi Vekiem Lahu. Yes, she made the neder, but the husband was Mekayim. right? A woman, when she makes a neder, so her husband, b'yom shamo, on the day that he hears it, has the right to be made for the neder. If he doesn't say anything, or if he says, I accept the neder for her, so then he's mekayim the neder, so then it's as if he made the neder, and therefore it's his fault. And therefore, that's why, in that situation, the neder, in fact, takes effect. And that's what Beis Shammai would hold. Because Sarbi Beis Shammai, who knows saying Etzva Ben Shinel? It's his kiyum of that nether that made it as if he was the one that made the nether. He, so to say, put her finger between her teeth. And therefore, it's his fault, and that's why the nether counts. Or it's Beis Hillel Sabri, no. He knows the Etzva Ben Shinel. Even though he was Makayim the nether, she was the one that made the nether. And therefore, in that situation, since she was the one that made the nether, that's all that counts. And therefore, we, according to Beis Hillel, say, you force her to go and nurse the child, she can't go and make a nether against what she's obligated to do. Gemara says, if that's true, so then why are we just arguing about nursing over here? Beniflugu biksuva bialma. So then they should argue with the ksuba in and of itself. If the woman has the right over here to go and say, I'm not doing it, if the husband's mekayim anything from the ksuba, so then it's the husband's fault. So then why are we saying that in general that it's the wife's responsibility? Here it should be the husband's responsibility if he's mekayim or nether. So that should be true for the whole ksuba. Why just for nursing? And furthermore, va'od, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, that's just simply not true. Beishami omrim eina meinika. Beishami says she doesn't have to go and nurse a child. Period. It doesn't talk about a woman who made an eder. It's talking about in general. Beishami holds that the woman can't be forced to go and nurse a child. If she doesn't choose to nurse, she can't be forced to do so. So clearly, Gemara says, you're 100% right. It's white, it's clear, like we said originally. Masnisin de lo ke Beishami. Our Mishnah doesn't accord with Beishami's opinion. Our Mishnah only accords with Beis Hillel's opinion. Then the Mishnah says, if the child only recognizes the mother and will not nurse by anybody else, so we said it's a sakana. So even though the wife is divorced and she's no longer mishubat to the husband and technically doesn't have to nurse the child, but since the child will die if this child isn't nursed by the mother, so basically can force the mother, albeit for money, they can force the husband to pay her, but they can force the woman to go nurse the child because the child would die otherwise, mishum ha-sakana. Now we turn to Samach Omid Aleph. At Kama, until what point in time do we say that the child will recognize its mother and will not nurse from somebody else that you can't use a wet nurse? So Gemara says, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Bar Abba, Amar Rav, Rava said Rav Yirmiyah, Bar Abba, who said Rav Rav, Shlosha Chadoshim. At 3 months, the child becomes so attached to the mother, it will not nurse from somebody else. Before then, it will still nurse from other wet nurses, but after 3 months, that's it. It will only nurse from the mother, and after 3 months, the husband can go to Basin, and Basin will force the wife, who's divorced, to go nurse the child, albeit they will make the husband pay for it. Shmuel disagrees. It's not 3 months. Shmuel Amar, it's Shloshim Yom. It's 30 days. The Gemara will question, where in the world does he get this? Now, some have the gears over here. V'Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because as we'll see in the Gemara, this is really the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, as we will see. In any event, this opinion says it's 30 days. V'Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Yochanan. V'Rabbi Yitzchak said in the name of Yochanan, Chamishim Yom. It's 50 days. So we have 3 months, we have 30 days, and we have 50 days. So Gemara says, Om Rav Shimi Bar Abaye. Rav Shimi Abaye says, Halacha Rabbi Yitzchak, Shomim Shim Rav Yochanan. The halacha is like Rav Yitzchak, name Rav Yochanan, that it's 50 days, Chamishim Yom. Okay. Now the Gemara says, the two longer shiurim, 3 months and 50 days, we understand. Vishlomo Rav Rav Yochanan, Kochad V'chad Kichorfei. Each of them said, depends on the child. There'll be some children that are very, very mature, and at 50 days, they'll recognize their mother and won't nurse from somebody else. Other children, a little bit slower, they'll still nurse from anybody until 3 months of age. Okay, we can understand even 50 days. We certainly understand 3 months, but El L'Shmuel, or the opinion of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ki Ha'gavim, Mimishkachasla, 30 days? Is a child so smart that he recognizes his mother at 30 days and will not nurse from somebody else at 30 days? That's very, very young. So, the Gemara says, he also Rami Bar Yecheskel. Now, Rami Bar Yecheskel is Rabbi Yehuda's brother. When Rami Bar Yecheskel came, Amar, he said, Lo titzaisinu lahani klali dechayel Yehuda achi mishmei deshvul. Don't listen to those rules that my brother, Rabbi Yehuda, said in the name of Shmuel, because Hachi Amar Shmuel, this, in fact, is what Shmuel said. And my brother isn't reliable to tell you what Shmuel said. And when my brother said, apparently, this was the Girsa that we had, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that it's 30 days, he says that's wrong. Because this is really Shmuel's opinion, Rami Bar Yecheskel said, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Kol Zman Shemakira. It depends on the child. If the child recognizes the mother and will not nurse from somebody else, that's the age. It's different for every child. It's not 30 days. It's not a set number of days. You have to look at each child. Every child is different. There's no set amount. As Rashi says, In Dibra Maskul, Koz Man Shemakira, Ein Shira LeDavar. There is no set amount. Ela Bibdika, you check it out. Bibdika Davar Toli. You go and see for each child. Im Anuroim Shemakira, if we see the child does recognize the mother and will only nurse in the mother, not from somebody else, then Kofa Uminikaso Bishar. Afil Girsha. Then we can force the mother, even if she's divorced, to go and, albeit get paid, but we can force her to go and nurse the child. That's what Rabbi Yechezkel said is the true opinion of Shmuel. Ma'aseh Shoya, Hahi, the once was a woman, she was a divorced woman, and she didn't want to go nurse her child. So she comes before Shmuel to say, I don't want to go nurse this child. So Amalei L'Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, so Shmuel goes and checks this out. Again, the opinion that we just brought down, the name of Rabbi Yechezkel, in the name of Shmuel, was Koz Ma'aseh Makira. So he said, check and see, will this child nurse from somebody else, or will this child recognize its mother, and therefore only want to nurse from its mother? So he told Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, Zil Batka, go and check to see if this child will in fact only nurse from this woman, in Makira. Does he recognize the mother or not? So that's what Rashi says, and what did this Rav Dimi Bar Yosef do? Ozal, he went, Osva Bidori Dinoshe, he went and got a whole row of women together, and he passed the baby from one mother to the other to see if the baby would recognize the mother. Vishakli Libra, and he took this little baby boy, Vikomahadi Le'alayu, and he passed it before each of the women in the row to see would the baby notice his mother. Finally, Kimoto Ligaba, when the child was finally passed into the mother's hands, Havakomasveliapa. What happened? This child looked at the mother and got very happy. Masveliapa. The child looked longingly at the mother. So what did the mother do? Kivashtani lehinamine. So she looked away. She didn't want to give in that the child recognized her. So Rav Dimi saw this. So Rav Dimi Bar Yosi said, Amalot, Rav Dimi Bar Yosi said to this woman, this divorced woman, Netov Einech, lift up your eyes and go, come, rise, Dari Brech, and go take your son. In other words, he recognized you. And see Banecha, Rashi says, and go and nurse him. So fine. So you see, this is exactly Shmuel's opinion when the child recognizes the mother. The Gemara continues and says, what happens to the child's Nebuch blind? Sumuk, the blind child is there. How does he recognize his mother? Mino Yoda, how will he know the mother? So Amar Ravashi says, even a blind child will recognize the mother, Berecha, by the smell that she gives off, and Ubataima, and from the taste of the milk. So the child will recognize this is his mother or this is not his mother, even if the child is blind. The Brisa continues and tells us, Tana Rabbanon, Yonek, Tinok, Vaholech, a child can go and nurse from the time of birth until up to Ad Esrim V'Yarboa Chodesh, until 24 months. And that's considered normal. In those days, they would nurse. It says when Yitzchak was weaned off Rivka, it says V'Yigomal Yitzchak. And that was at a two-year party. So, Yikan V'Elech, Kiyonik Shekets. But beyond that point in time, the Tanakhama holds, it's improper for a child to nurse, and it's no different than if the child was nursing, so to say, from a sheretz, from a non-kosher creature, which is, of course, in a something that's not considered proper, and therefore, as if the child was nursing from a non-kosher animal. That's the opinion of Divrei Rabbi Elazar, the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, now, absolutely no problem. As long as you can doing this continuously, afilu arba v'chamesh shanim. You can even do 4 or 5 years. Normally we say 2 years like this, 4 or 5. It means 4 for a healthy child and 5 for a sickly child. So that's why it says 4 or 5 years. So you're allowed to continue nursing even for a much longer period of time. However, once you stop, you can't start again. Pirash, li'achar esim v'arba chodesh, v'chazar, if you stopped after 24 months, and then you recontinued, so you stopped at 24 months, and then at 28 months you decided to continue again. That's considered improper. That's kionic shekets. Once you stop, then you can't go back if it's after 24 months of period of time. If you stopped at 3 months or at 4 months, 8 months, so then you can go and nurse again. That's not considered kionic shekets. But if you stopped after 24 months and then you try to restart it, that's considered improper. Amar Mari Gemara continues and says, Mikan v'eilech kionik shekets. We said, if it's beyond 24 months, the Tanakhama Rabbi Elazar said, is as if you're nursing from a shekets. Now, the Gemara says, Rumini, but we have another brisa that says, Yocho yehe chalev mahalchishtayim tomei. One might have thought that the milk of the mahalchishtayim, why is it called mahalchishtayim over here? It's talking about a human being. So the Torah Tamima, Baruch Epstein, Zatzal, the author of the Torah Tamima, so he wrote that it's called Mahal Chishtayim because it includes even an Akum, and an Akum isn't called Adam. So that's why it didn't say over here the Chol of an Adam, because it includes even an Akum over here, so that milk is considered tame. So that's why it uses this funny lashon, mahachishtayim, those that walk upright on 2 feet, meaning human beings, but includes goyim as well. So I might have thought, the Brisa says, yochoyei cholov mahachishtayim tame. I might have said that the cholov of a human being is tame v'dinu, and I would have said it's based upon the following kal v'chomer, that uma behema, in regards to a non-kosher animal, sheikalta b'magah, where we're not making the person tame if you just touch the animal. Rashi says over here, it means she'enam mitama mechayim. If you touch it while it's alive, you don't become tamei. So in this situation, where such an animal, a non-kosher animal, if you touch it, you're not tamei. Nevertheless, hechmarto b'chalava. But if you drink its milk, so then that is a problem. So you're not allowed to go drink its milk. So in this situation, adam shechmarto b'mago, a man can become mitame you if you touch a man who's tamei. There is tumas meis, a person can have tumas meis, a person can have tumas nida, tumas tzaras, all sorts of other types of tuma. So certainly, enodin shetachmir b'chalavo. So certainly, the milk of such a person should be tame. If an animal which isn't able to transmit tuma while it's alive, yet its milk is no good, so a human being that can transmit tuma while he's alive or she's alive, so certainly their milk, the woman's milk, should be tame. So this is a good kal v'chomer that we would have had. Talmud lomer. That's why the Torah has to give us a pasuk to tell us, es ha-gamal kimala girahu. Only the gamal, which is a animal that has half of the simonim of kashrus, it chews its cud, but it doesn't have split hooves. Hu tameh, that animal is tameh, implying, bein chalev ma'achishtayim tameh elotar. Only that animal is tameh, but you can't learn out this kavachom to say that a human being's milk is tameh as well. And in fact, human being's milk is tahar. Bryce continues and says, I might have thought, though, once you're going this far, yochal otzis hacholav sheino shavu b'kol, I would say that it's only the milk of a human being that is not osur. That's the special dispensation. But the lo otzis hadam shushavu b'kol, but that I would say that the dam of a human being would definitely be prohibited, because dam is prohibited amongst all animals. There is milk from animals, like kosher animals, that is permitted. So therefore, I can understand why the milk of a human being could be permitted as well. But dam of a human being, since there is no dam that's permitted, so I would say that the dam of a human being should also be osur, v'lo otzis hadam shushav b'kol, because all blood is prohibited, the blood of all animals is prohibited, so I might have thought that the blood of human beings is prohibited as well. Talmud lomer, who? The pasuk says, no, it is for you prohibited. Tamei hu lochem, it is for you prohibited, but that's teaching us that only the blood of the animals is prohibited. Ein dam hachishtayim tamei elatar. In fact, the blood of a human being is only midrabbanan asur, but on a deraisa level, it is tahar. And along comes Rav Sheshes, the milk is not even prohibited on a midrabbanan level. Apilu mitzvahs pre-shein bo. There isn't even a derabbanan not to have the milk that comes out of from a human being. So one shouldn't go and nurse directly from the breast of a woman. That's considered something that's an abomination. But once the milk comes out, it's not even an isur derabbanan. So based upon what we just learned, and specifically Rav Sheshes is saying that it's not even an isur derabbanan, so how come we have the opinion that says after 24 months, Rav Eliezer said that it's considered over here yonei kisheretz? Why not? It's not a problem. We just said that it's not even an isur derabbanan, even after 24 months, at any point in time. Shmuel says, no, there's a difference. Lokasha. Had the parish, had the lo parish. When we said that you shouldn't go and drink the milk, that's directly from the dot itself. But if it's separated from the dot, in other words, it's been expressed into a container, so then technically there is nothing wrong with drinking it. But as I pointed out, if it's separated from the breast, it's no longer, you're directly sucking from the breast, and it's not even a derabbanan. And it's only to directly drink it from the breast, so that's considered something that's improper, but it's only an issur derabbanan. But it's the exact opposite by the blood. V'chilupa b'dam. By dam, kiditanya, dam sha'al gabi kikar. If you have blood that has been expressed, you have blood that's on a piece of bread. A person took a bite of a bagel, and the blood is now on the bagel. So that you're not allowed to go and eat. That's not like the milk. The milk, once it's out, you're allowed to go and eat it. Here, the blood, once it's out, you're not allowed to go and eat it. Tam shal gabi kikar, goro, you have to wipe away the blood, and then vokla can eat the rest of the loaf of bread, the rest of the bagel. It's not a problem. But the opposite, shebein ashinayim, the blood that's inside of you, which would be equivalent to the milk that's in the breast, no problem. Motzo, you're allowed to continue sucking it from your mouth. You don't have to spit it out. You can swallow the saliva with the blood inside of it. In a choshesh, there's no concern there at all. So by the blood, the rabbanan only when it leaves the body. And by the milk, the rabbanan is only to directly drink it from the breast. Now we go back and we look at this one more time. Amar Mar, Rabbi Yeshua Amar, Afilu Arba V'Chamish Shanim. Rabbi Yeshua said that as long as the child is continuously nursing, even for 4 or 5 years, it's not considered Yonei Kisheretz. The Gemara says, well, Tani, we have another Brisa, Rabbi Yeshua says otherwise. Rabbi Yeshua Amar, Afilu Chavilaso Al Kseifav, that the child is allowed to go and nurse, even if he has like his school bag on his shoulders. He has a bundle on his shoulders. He'd be 7 years old, 10 years old. He's still allowed to nurse. So the Gemara says, Idi V'Idi Chad Shiru. No. They're both the same shear. It's not a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old kid. The chavila aksepa is a 4 or 5-year-old kid. And Amar Rabbi Yosef says, we in fact paskin like this, halacha Rabbi Yeshua, as long as the child's continuously nursing, even if the child's 4 or 5 years old, and he's able to carry a bundle on his shoulder, he has a chavila on his shoulder, it's not a problem. We'll just do a little bit more to get to the two dots, so we can, Baruch Hashem, pick up another half of a dot to help us out for the Yom Menorah. Tanya, we learn the following brayso. So Rav Morina Somer, Rav Morina says, Go neyach yonek cholov b'shabbos. A person who is nebuch in distress, he is go neyach. Rashi says he has a certain type of heart pain. Hamelal micha'ev libo. He has a certain type of illness. Then the lazi Rashi, they bring down, motzi kol ke'ein sha'ol u'mashlich dam. He's coughing up some blood and he has some sort of a problem. So he's allowed to go and nurse directly from the animal on Shabbos. Why? My timer. Because Yoneg, what's the whole issue of nursing from the animal, is Mafari Kalachayat. This is an unusual way to go and milk an animal, to go and put your mouth on the teat of the animal and go drink from there. So that's Kalachayat. And since the person is having some sort of medical problem here, even though he's not a Cholish Yeshbo Sakana, but it's only Durabanan to go and directly put your lips on the dad of the animal and suck the milk from the animal, so there's only the Rabbanan, and for Tsar, the person is a Chola She'en Bo Sakana, so you're allowed to go and do this. Yonik, Mafari Klachayad, there's only a Klachayad, this is an unusual way of doing it, it knocks it down from the Raisa to the Rabbanan, welcome Tsar, Lugaz Rabbanan. The rabbis never instituted this Isser when it's only the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yosef says, this is how we paskin. Am Rabbi Yosef, Halacha K'Rabbi Marinus. We in fact paskin like this Rabbi Marinus. Similarly, we have the following bride, Satanya, Nochum Ish Gai Omer, Nochum, who came from the city of Gai, said, Tsinor Sha'olubo Kashkashin, if you have a gutter, a pipe, that's filled up with all sorts of shmutz, Kashkashin is like straw. Rashi says, it's hard straw, Koshim, the Asavim, or grasses, and they're plugging up this gutter. Shesotmin Uma'akmin is Klocho, it's not allowing the water to flow through it. So the water can't get out on the gutter. In fact, it's going down into the house, and therefore it's causing you to have water coming in. So the din is, on Shabbos you'd be allowed to go and put your feet into this gutter and step down on it and go and get rid of the debris in that fashion. And this isn't the Nisr Shabbos. Why not, my Taima? Because this is, again, Misakin Kalachariyadu. This is not the normal way of doing it. And since this is not a Nisr Daraisa, it's only a Nisr Darabanan, but it's going to be Hefsid Maruba. It's going to be a significant loss if the water comes in through your roof and you don't clear out these gutters. So, B'makom Seid, L'Gozruba Rabbanan. The rabbis never set up a Nisr Darabanan in a setting where there'd be Hefsid Maruba. And again, Amar Rav Yosef says, we paskin like this halacha as well, halacha ki Nochum Ish Gaya. We in fact paskin like this din of Nochum Ish Gaya. This is a good breaking point. With this we conclude today's share.